Duncan, head of the Pickaxe Public Library. Mildred Riker suggested, "Let's all four of us go over for a weekend and stay at a bed and breakfast." The fourth member of the party sat in moody silence, tamping his luxuriant mustache. "How about it, Quill?" asked Riker. "Will you drink to that?" "No," said Jim Quillerin. "I don't like what they've done to Breakfast Island. I see no reason for changing its name, and I have no desire to go there." "Well," said Polly in surprise. "Really?" said Mildred in protest. The two men were old friends. Journalists from down below, as Moose County natives called the population centers of the United States. Now Riker was realizing his dream of publishing a country newspaper, and Quillerin, having inherited money, was living a comfortable bachelor life in Pickaxe City, population 3,000, and writing a column for the Moose County Something. Despite the droop of his pepper-and-salt mustache and the melancholy look in his heavy-lidded eyes, he had found middle-aged contentment here. He walked and biked and filled his lungs with country air. He met new people and confronted new challenges. He had a fulfilling friendship with Polly Duncan. He lived in a spectacular converted apple barn, and he shared the routine of everyday living with two Siamese cats. "Let me tell you," he went on to his dinner partners, "why I'm opposed to the Pear Island Resort. When I first came up here from down below, some boaters took me out to the island, and we tied up at an old wooden pier. The silence was absolute, except for the scream of a gull or the splash of a fish jumping out of the water. God, it was peaceful. No cars, no paved roads, no telephone poles, no people, and only a few nondescript shacks on the edge of the forest." He paused and noted the effect he was having on his listeners. "What is on that lonely shore now? A three-story hotel, a marina with 50 boat slips, a pizza parlor, a T-shirt studio, and two fudge shops." "How do you know?" Riker challenged him. "You haven't even been over there to see the resort, let alone count the fudge shops."
"I read the publicity releases. That was enough to turn me off."
"If you had attended the press preview, you'd have a proper perspective." Riker had the ruddy face and paunchy figure of an editor who had attended too many press previews.
"If I ate their free lunch," Quillerin shot back, "they'd expect all kinds of puffery in my column." "No, it was enough, Arch, that you gave them the lead story on page one, three pictures inside, and an editorial."
The publisher's new wife, Mildred, spoke up. "Quill, I went to the preview with Arch and thought XYZ Enterprises did a very tasteful job with the hotel. It's rustic and blends in nicely. There's a shopping strip on either side of the hotel, also rustic, and the signage is standardized and not at all junky."
This was high praise, coming from someone who taught art in the public schools.
"I must admit, though, that you can smell fudge all over the island." "And horses," said her husband. "It's a heady combination, let me tell you. Since motor vehicles are prohibited, visitors hire carriages or hail horse cabs or rent bicycles or walk."
"Can you picture the traffic jam when that little island is cluttered with hordes of bicycles and strollers and sightseeing carriages?"
Quillerin asked with a hint of belligerence. Polly Duncan laid a hand softly on his arm. "Quill, dear, should we attribute your negative attitude to guilt? If so, banish the thought." Quillerin winced. There was some painful truth in her well-intended statement. It was his own money that had financed, to a great degree, the development of the island. Having inherited the enormous Klingenchain fortune based in Moose County, he had established the Klingenchain Foundation to distribute mega millions for the betterment of the community, thus relieving himself of responsibility. A host of changes had resulted, some of which he questioned. Nevertheless, he adhered to his policy of hands off. Polly continued with sincere enthusiasm. "Think how much the K Foundation has done for the schools, health care, and literacy. If it weren't for Klingenchain backing, we wouldn't have a good newspaper and plans for a community college."
Riker said, "The Pear Island Hotel alone will provide 300 jobs, many of them much-needed summer work for young people. We pointed that out in our editorial paper."